All right, well, it's Memorial Day weekend. You know, summer's getting ready to kick off. You know, I'm sure people have got their barbecuing plans and all that set for tomorrow. And so I wanted to start by just talking about why I'm wearing this Hawaiian shirt this morning. Now, any of you who know me know I don't typically wear Hawaiian shirts. And so this kind of comes with a purpose. Now, even though summer is kicking off, I'm not wearing this because it's about to be summertime. I'm also not wearing this shirt because I've decided to retire and move to Florida. I'm not wearing it for that reason either. I'm actually wearing this shirt to remember. My wife and I this month just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Yes, thank you. And we went to Hawaii on our honeymoon, and I got this shirt while we were there. And so it was just kind of funny going through the closet and seeing it there yesterday and going, man, I think I'm going to wear that, just kind of in memorial, in remembrance. I don't think I've worn it since I was in Hawaii. I joked with my wife that I was going to leave it unbuttoned because I didn't think it could reach anymore. Over these last 10 years, the marriage growth has happened there. So we're talking about memorials this morning and remembering this morning. And believe it or not, this might sound odd to you, it actually takes courage to remember. And so we're going to start by going back to the book of Joshua. We've been continuing on this series of courage there, and we're going to begin in Joshua chapter 8. If you want to get ready to look there, we're going to start in verse 30. And just to kind of prep you, Joshua and the people have persevered in battle. They've moved into the promised land. They've begun to take possession of what God has for them. And so they've reached this important location that Moses told them about. He said, you will get there. And so now it was time for them to set up a memorial. Joshua chapter 8, beginning in verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. Now, just really quick, I want to take note here. There's purpose in what they're doing. It was commanded to them to do this, and it was written down, it was documented that this is what was to be done. And here's what the book of Moses said. An altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he, Joshua, read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. All right, there's a few things here we need to take note of. First of all, they built this altar according to plan. They stuck to the plan. They took note of what had happened in the past, what Moses had laid down for them to do, and they followed it through, and they fulfilled that command to remember. See, this wasn't just like, hey, when you get there and you begin conquering, you have the promised land, you know, it might be a cool idea to throw a party. It was a specific command for them to remember what the Lord had done, to remember the battle and all that they had been through, and to celebrate. God commands them to remember. Jesus calls us to remember as well. Secondly, the thing that we see here is they remembered everything, both good and bad. They read the entire law. They went through the whole thing. Can you imagine that service? Have you read through the book of Leviticus? Right? They read through the whole thing, and they read the blessings and the cursings. God says, here's how we will prosper if we follow this way, and here's how we will falter if we don't. They read it all. They didn't leave anything out. They remembered everything. And then finally, at this ceremony, they included everyone. That's significant. This wasn't just the warriors getting together celebrating their victories. The women, their wives were there. Their children were there. They were making a point to say, hey, we need to remember this day. This is to last. And finally, they had even the strangers, the foreigners who were living among them, who had kind of joined their group and were living amongst them, they participated in this remembrance as God's people. So even people who were not present when Moses said this were a part of this. This is important. Now, why is it so important for them to include everyone? Why is it so important for them to remember everything, good and bad, that had happened? Why did Moses command them to remember this? Let's go back and take a look at Moses' instructions to them in Deuteronomy. You can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. This is the passage where Moses told them, this is what you're going to do. And we're going to notice several things in here as we go through this together. Deuteronomy chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, that you shall set up for yourselves large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. Therefore, it shall be when you have crossed over the Jordan that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime, and there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. Can we leave that slide up for just a minute? There's three things I want you to see here this morning. Number one, this called for celebration and rejoicing. This remembrance, this memorial says, listen, eat, throw a party, rejoice before the Lord. When we look back and remember the hard work and the difficulties and the trials and all that we've come through and reached a point of memorial, we're to celebrate. It's cause for celebration. He doesn't just assume they're going to do it. He makes a point to say, man, throw a party, eat some food, celebrate together. I'm thankful for this. This is a celebration. The second thing that we see here is that they're to give honor to God and they're to offer thanks. And listen, that cost them something. They offered burnt offerings. They offered peace offerings. This cost them to give thanks and to give honor. And finally, what might not jump out to us quite as easily is this thing right here. They etched God's word into these stones. This was meant to be a lasting memorial. And when God's law is etched in those stones, it's not there just to remember his law and remember that it's good. It's a call to action. It's a call for them and generations forward to fulfill those purposes, to fulfill his plan. See, it does take courage to remember. It takes courage to remember because there's going to be times when we're called to celebrate, but we're still remembering the difficulty and the trial in the battle. See, this happens in the middle of Joshua. There's still some stuff to be done, but they needed to pause in the midst of their journey, in the midst of their trials and their battles, to rejoice, to throw a party, to remember God's faithfulness. That takes courage. Anybody can celebrate when it's done, when it's over with, but in the middle of the battle, they stop to celebrate. It takes courage. Secondly, they offer thanks. They give honor. They stand back in awe of God. They recognize that it wasn't just their work, but it was what he had been doing in their midst. It was a reminder to them of the courage that it takes to trust God when the obstacles seem impossible, when the odds seem against us, when we can't do it on our own. It takes courage, and then we stand in awe and thank him. And finally, to truly remember, for there to be a true memorial, takes courage. See, it's easy to remember by just kind of throwing a party. You know, hey, it's Memorial Day, it's fun, let's celebrate, this is great, thanks for what we got. But to really, truly remember, to take note of what's been done, what others have done for us, the courage that they've shown, the fight that they've fought, the lives that they've laid down, it takes courage to remember that because it calls us to action. It calls us to look at what they have done for us and to say, what do I now do? What is required of me? See, true remembering notices everything. They remembered every detail, good and bad. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to kind of pause for a minute, and we're going to just acknowledge that this issue of having courage to remember affects us today. And very specifically, this weekend, this holiday that we're about to celebrate, this memorial. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at some history behind Memorial Day. We're going to look at some kind of fun facts, and then some quotes, some speeches that were given on past Memorial Days. Now, any kids that are in the room that were thinking, man, it's summertime, I'm done with school, hold on, you got one more history lesson before we start summer. All right, so here we go. We're just going to kind of bullet point through these. Some Memorial Day facts and history for you. First of all, it was originally known as Decoration Day. Because of its origins during the Civil War, women would place flowers on the graves of the fallen. So it's actually Decoration Day. Ladies, you started this. You began to honor those fallen soldiers during the Civil War, going to their grave sites and decorating them, honoring them, celebrating their sacrifice. That's the origin of this. Now, there's many claims as to where the birthplace of this holiday began. They've kind of honed in on 1866. Columbus, Mississippi is one of the places that lays claims. So, of course, in typical Yankee fashion, 100 years later, in 1966, our Congress said that Waterloo, New York, was the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Now, I think of Paul here. You know, Paul had his feet in two places, right? He had his Jewish citizenship and his Roman citizenship. And so for me, I was born in Toledo, Ohio, but I really grew up in the South. And so since I'm here with you guys this morning, we're going to go with Columbus, Mississippi. Is that cool? Can we do that? All right. In 1868, it was promoted by the Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, Mr. John Logan, to be a national holiday. This guy began to promote it and say, this should become a national holiday, not just stuff we're doing scattered in different places. And so he noted, let's observe this on May 30th. And for the next 100 years, that's when it was celebrated, May 30th, that date. Okay, then we fast forward a little bit, and around World War I, the holiday was changed to honor fallen U.S. soldiers from any U.S. war. Up to that point, it was specifically was tied to the Civil War. And so they opened it up to celebrate all soldiers. Then in 1971, it was moved to the last Monday in May when it was instituted as an official national holiday by Congress. So then we began having our three-day weekend. It's the last Monday of every month. Couple of things that happen on Memorial Day to honor. First of all, there's a laying of a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns in Arlington National Cemetery. There are religious services, there's parades, there's speeches, flags and insignia. All this stuff is done to honor and remember those who've given their lives for our freedom. I want to show you a picture here. Since the 50s, there's a group of 1,200 soldiers of the 3rd U.S. Infantry. And they go to Arlington National Cemetery, and they put a flag, you can see them doing it right here, they put a small American flag in front of every single gravestone. That is 260,000 gravestones. They place them there on the Thursday before Memorial Weekend, and then they stay on patrol 24 hours a day through Monday, Memorial Day, walking and making sure no flags have fallen over. They repair them, they fix them, they put them back up. Man, that's taking note. That's remembering. That's honoring. These are some of the things that take place on Memorial Day to remember what those who have gone before us have done. Do we remember the incredible sacrifice that was made for us and the freedoms that we have? I want to read a few quotes to you. A couple of these are relatively long. I actually wanted to read like these whole speeches, but just felt like it might be a bit too much. But we're going to read through some different quotes that were given on Memorial Day. So first off, John Logan, the guy who kind of instituted the thing on May 30th, he said this, "If other eyes grow dull and other hands slack and other hearts cold in the solemn trust, ours shall keep it well as long as the light and warmth of life remain to us." Man, he noted, other people are going to let this stuff slide. It's going to become not that big of a deal. It's not going to warm their hearts and fill them with courage. They're going to forget, but we're not. We're not going to forget. We're going to remember. Let's go on. Oliver Wendell Holmes. Now, this is not even 20 years later, this guy writes this about Memorial Day, and he's writing this into response to being asked, why are we still celebrating this, about 20 years after the Civil War? So here he is, Oliver Wendell Holmes. Memorial Day may and ought to have a meaning also for those who do not share our memories. See, he's one of the soldiers, but he's inviting all of us in to this memory, to remembering and memorializing. For stripped of the temporary associations which give rise to it, it is now the moment when by common consent we pause to become conscious of our national life and to rejoice in it, to recall what our country has done for each of us, and to ask ourselves what we can do for the country in return. Through our great good fortune, in our youth, our hearts were touched with fire. It was given to us to learn at the outset that life is a profound and passionate thing. Man, do you hear his heartbeat? When we remember, when we reflect back, when we memorialize what others have done for us, it should spark this passion within us that we're meant to live this life with. So to the indifferent inquirer who asks why Memorial Day is still kept up, we may answer, it celebrates and solemnly reaffirms from year to year a national act of enthusiasm and faith. It embodies in the most impressive form our belief that to act with enthusiasm and faith is the condition of acting greatly. To fight out a war, you must believe something and want something with all of your might. So must you do to carry anything else to an end worth reaching. More than that, you must be willing to commit yourself to a course, perhaps a long and hard one, without being able to foresee exactly where you will come out. All that is required of you is that you should go some whither as hard as ever you can. Whew. Remembering. It calls us to be passionate. It calls us to live as we ought. It calls us to not just stand and remember, but to take note of how we ought to live. It calls us to enthusiasm and faith and passion. Let's fast forward 100 years. That was 1884, now 1983. This is Ronald Reagan on Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a time to take stock of the present, to reflect on the past, and renew our commitment to the future of America. Today, as in the past, there are problems that must be solved and challenges that must be met. We can tackle them with our full strength and creativity only because we are free to work them out in our own way. We owe this freedom of choice and action to those men and women in uniform who have served this nation and its interests in time of need. In particular, we are forever indebted to those who have given their lives that we might be free. I don't have to tell you how fragile this precious gift of freedom is. Every time we hear, watch, or read the news, we are reminded that liberty is a rare commodity in this world. Whew. These are guys who got it. They understood what it meant to remember. They recognized that in order to truly set up a memorial, it should begin with thanks and honor. We should remember the lives that were given for us, the sacrifice that was made. We should do that. We should pause. We should take note. We should be thankful. Secondly, we should celebrate it. We should celebrate. We should throw a party. We should remember the battles fought and won and those who gave their lives for us and celebrate and honor them. That can be a difficult task. It can be hard when we take note and remember the sacrifice that was made to celebrate, but we should. It's the right thing to do. And finally, you see it throughout what these guys had to say. We are called to courageous action. A memorial, a true remembering, will speak to our hearts and call us to step out and live as we should. So, Christian, believer, What does this have to do with us this morning? Yes, we see Joshua and Moses in the law and God calling them to remember. And yes, we stand in awe of Memorial Day and all those who have given their lives for us. But you know who we should truly memorialize today? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he calls us to remember. Take a look with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read verses 23 and 29. This is Paul, and he's talking about the importance of taking communion and why we take it and that we're called to remember. And he quotes Jesus here and some of the things that Jesus had to say about taking this communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Jesus is looking forward to the day when we celebrate once again with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when he takes up that cup once more and we celebrate eternal life, the freedom that he has purchased for us, the freedom that can never be stolen no matter what country we live in and no matter what the conditions around us. Real freedom, liberty from sin, freedom to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, to walk free of guilt and shame. He's purchased that for us, and it's meant to be a cause of celebration. And so when we take the bread and we take the cup, we celebrate. We celebrate the life that is found in him and him alone. And we look forward to the day when there's an even greater celebration in his presence. He's coming back for us. He's returning. And so we remember and we celebrate. And not only that, we give thanks and we honor his sacrifice. He says, when you do this, until the day I come, you remember my death. Listen, believers, church, communion and the gospel is not a one-time experience where we meet Jesus and see the salvation that he brings and then move ahead in life. We continually and regularly come back and remember. We remember who he is. We remember what he's done for us. We're invited in our current moment in life, our current position, to recognize and acknowledge our Savior and what he's done to set us free. We reflect upon our lives and go, God, what do I need to be set free from right now? Thank you for setting me free from that. What do I need to confess right now to make right with you? Thank you that there's forgiveness and redemption because of your precious blood. We give thanks and we honor him. And finally, it's a call to action. Once again, we see this theme. Paul says we should reflect, we should consider. What are we doing? And I don't think this is just about, is there some sin you need to confess? To know the right thing to do and to not do it is sin. This is a call to reflect on the life we're living. Have I taken up the name of Jesus and called him my Lord and Savior? And am I therefore walking out the life that he has meant for me to live? Each and every one of us have a purpose to fulfill. God has placed you here for a reason. He's put you in the family that you're in for a reason and the job that you're in for a reason. And we're meant to fulfill that. And so as we remember him, we also remember we're called to follow him. We're called to take up our cross and follow him. We're called to sacrifice. And so by way of remembrance and by way of kind of celebrating these three issues of honoring and celebrating and a call to action, We're going to look at three passages of Scripture together to kind of bring this all together this morning. Three passages of Scripture, taking a look at what Jesus had to say about this issue of remembering. So first, Mark chapter 14. This is a story of honor right here. And to kind of give you just a little bit of a lead-in on this story, this is before Jesus' death. He's having supper in the town of Bethany. And a woman shows up at that meal with an alabaster jar of oil. This is a very expensive and precious thing. And she breaks it open and pours it over his head. Now, this did not sit well with people who were nearby and who were present. In fact, they were reprimanding her. Literally, it says that they were calling it an expensive waste and they criticized her sharply. This wasn't practical. This didn't make any sense. That could have been used for something better. Here's what Jesus had to say about that. Mark chapter 14, verse 6. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could." She has done what she could. "She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." She's honoring her Lord who's about to die for her. "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And so we read it this morning as we remember this courageous woman who marched in the middle of this dinner in front of a bunch of men and broke open her precious, expensive alabaster jar of oil and anointed her Lord and Savior, who is going to die for her. That's honor. That's gratitude. That's thanks. Take a look at this. "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him." Isn't it interesting that this is the story that leads Judas to finally act and decide to betray his Lord? While this precious woman comes and honors him and gives him thanks, he says, "This isn't really convenient. I would have loved to have gotten my hands on what that stuff cost." We know from Scripture he was stealing from the money bag. It wasn't convenient for him to stand back and honor his Lord. It was going to require something of him that he wasn't willing to step up and do. Listen, honoring and giving thanks and standing in awe of him may not be the most convenient path. There might be times where it costs us something, but it is precious and beautiful in his sight, and it is so precious and beautiful that he would take this one moment in history and say, "Hey, I want the whole world to know, to take note of what this woman has done, the honor that she has bestowed upon me, and we're going to make a memorial to her that she prepared me for burial." She was honoring the dead. That's honor. Second story, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read several verses here. Now, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he is telling them to remember these words. It's another call to remember these words, and he's telling them to remember for a very specific reason. Let's take a look at this. Matthew 24, verse 4. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." Do you hear him saying the word many over and over again? This is a warning. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." man, may that not be me. That lawlessness would not abound in my heart so that my love would grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is the call to action. The woman honored him. Now he's telling his disciples and he's telling us, get ready. You're gonna face difficulty. You're gonna face trials. He told them in another place, listen, you're gonna have difficulty. You're gonna face problems, but take heart because I've overcome the world. He's telling us that we're gonna face some things. We're gonna face trials. We're gonna face difficulty, maybe even death. But can I tell you, for many of us, you know the trial we're facing? The call to lawlessness, the call to compromise, the call to let things slide, and then our love may grow cold. Beware. Hold on to the end. He's saying, listen, this call to remember, it's difficult, and it's gonna be hard, and there's gonna be challenges, and there's gonna be things along the way that will distract you. There will be things along the way that will cause you to wanna shrink back. There will be your own failures, and there will be outside sources that will come after you. But hold on to the end. Hold on. Remember. Remember what he's done for us, and remember that he promises to come again one day. Remember that he tells the final story. Remember that it ends with him and us in victory. Hold on and remember. We're called to act, and we can act appropriately when we stand in memorial of our God, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One more scripture I want us to look at together this morning in John chapter 16. It's a similar kind of story as Jesus is just kind of letting the disciples know, man, things are gonna be hard. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm not gonna be around. I'm going to the Father, and you're gonna be here, and you're gonna face some trial. But he tells them something important to do along the way. John chapter 16, we're gonna read verses 1-4 and then pick it up in verse 20 and through 22. Verse 1, this is Jesus talking. These things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I've told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament and the world will rejoice, but you will be sorrowful. But, man, I love the buts in scripture, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. There is a time coming when we will rejoice and it cannot be stolen. There is a time coming that our celebration will no longer be mixed with bitterness. There will be a time when we honor the dead and when we honor our Savior who died, and it will be a full, living, joyous, wonderful celebration where there is no more sorrow and all tears have been wiped away. Amen. That's our destiny, church. That's our future. And so what would God have us to do now? He would have us to remember. Remember and celebrate the lives that have been given for us to have freedom. Remember and celebrate the life that was given for us to have freedom. Remember it and celebrate. Give thanks, give honor, and respond to the call to act. Be who he's made you to be. Stand in awe of our Lord and Savior. Thank those who have gone before us. And then let's look at our lives and go, okay, God, what are you calling me to? What's your call to action in my life? As I reflect, as I look, what needs to be rooted out? What needs to be repented of? What place do I need to step up and respond where you're calling me to respond? Or maybe, just maybe, I'm just supposed to fan this flame of love for him so when the difficulty comes, I'm ready because I remember his word and because he's in my heart. Amen.